Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We're back here on 560 WQAM. Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour. Greg Likens with you. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass as we are taking you up until 10 o'clock. As you just mentioned, we got Panthers hockey following us tonight as they are out on the West Coast in San Jose to play the Sharks. So we got that coverage starting at 10 o'clock. In the meantime, we have got you covered here. Plenty to talk about on the sports scene involving South Florida and beyond, especially with this Miami Dolphins team. And a theme so far this offseason, it's not about what the Dolphins have done, it's about what they have not done. And in this case, they have not signed the quarterback that visited last night in Teddy Bridgewater, as he has decided within the last hour to re-sign with the New Orleans Saints, a one-year deal. According to Adam Schefter, $7.5 million guaranteed, a max value of $12.5 million with incentives. So he has spurned the Dolphins to join the New Orleans Saints. We do not know what the Dolphins offered him financially, but at the same time, there had been rumblings, reading Armando Salguero's article in the Miami Herald, who's always tapped in, that he referenced that last year when Bridgewater was searching for a team, the Dolphins were the first team to reach out to him, but that Bridgewater's agent wanted a one-year, $15 million deal. And if that's what he wanted last year, when he was going to compete for a starting job, or potentially be the backup, you can just imagine what he potentially was going to ask for this year with the Dolphins searching for what we assume would be the replacement for Ryan Tannehill and be a starter. It would appear now that if the Dolphins really wanted him, they could have paid him the type of money that you would expect if you're a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But that has not been the case, I think we can assume, because he has decided to go back to be a backup in New Orleans behind Drew Brees. The other part of this, if you're just tuning in, he had tweeted out about the fact that it was 13 years ago. He had referenced that, and putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, it was indeed 13 years ago today. It was March 14th, 2006, that Drew Brees was given word from the Dolphins that, hey, we don't want you. We're worried about your shoulder. And it was on this day, 13 years ago, that he signed with the New Orleans Saints. And now Teddy Bridgewater references that in a tweet prior to his official signing. And he decided not to sign with the Dolphins March 14th, 2019, and instead signs with the New Orleans Saints. So we do have some symmetry there. Not that it makes anybody feel any better. We've got the text lines blowing up. 560-22, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. One of our texters says, yet they could pay that bleep Tannehill $26 million. It makes absolutely no economic or talent sense. As a lifetime fan and a 28-year season ticket holder, I'm about to cancel my tickets and totally disconnect from this team. Yikes. Another texter says, I don't want Bridgewater. I want to go 0-16. Another says, go sign Cutler or Bortles. Let's suck the right way once and for all. Let's suck for 2 years straight like Cleveland. Well, I hate to break it to you. Cleveland did really badly for 2 years, but they were bad for many years before that as well. They just did it in historic fashion for 2 years, winning one game in two seasons.
Before Baker Mayfield, Derek Anderson was their best quarterback of the 2000s.
Of the 2000s, yes. Most productive, best quarterback.
Maybe even the 1990s, because I don't think Tim Couch and all those guys were that good.
They haven't been good for a really long time. Cleveland Browns. And all of a sudden, you look at the Vegas odds, and they're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl now that they've added Odell Beckham Jr. One of our texters says, just put all your chips in for Kyler Murray, and worst comes to worst, we'll draft again next year. Another says Bortles, because I've kind of opened this up. Which quarterback should the Dolphins now target? Who do you want the Dolphins to have play quarterback for them next season? Somebody says, give me Bortles or Luke Falk or give me death. another texture says, Haskins is not the guy in this draft. Far from it. Kyler, I think you're taking a huge risk. The quarterback you want, Drew Locke. If you like him that much in the first, but I think whoever gets Greer in the second or third is the biggest winner for the quarterback position. Okay. Another texture says, the issue you have is you still have to pay Tannehill $14 million and pay another quarterback X amount of dollars, $8 million to $10 million to ride as your backup at the $24 million mark. Yeah, well, listen, I don't think that matters so much this year for the Dolphins. Like, if you invest a ton of money, they've got to get through this Tannehill contract one way or the other. So, but I understand where you're coming from. And it appears more and more that the Dolphins want to try to build the way a lot of teams have found success, and that's build with a rookie quarterback. Get a guy that's on a rookie deal that is absolutely manageable from a salary cap standpoint, and then you can have the financial flexibility to get the type of talent around him to build a contender, assuming you pick the right quarterback. Somebody says, just start Luke Falk. That's the easiest road to Tua. Another says Bortles. Someone says, why don't you have one of your 10 tight ends play quarterback? Another text says, you turned down a starting job in the NFL. We don't want you. He hasn't done anything to make that kind of money. Plus, he sold out the U. Okay. Well, if we're going to be bitter about a kid choosing Louisville over the University of Miami, I don't know. I think we should probably let that go. If an 18-year-old kid decides to go play his college ball somewhere else, I don't think we should be holding a grudge 8 years later because of it.
Nah, team petty. Stay petty, always.
All right. See, I wholeheartedly disagree with Biff and our texter here, but, you know, that's in part what's wrong with our society these days. We've got these people, these grown-ups getting mad at kids for the decisions they make about college. Another texter says, this guy Bridgewater just used the Dolphins to have his garbage Instagram moment. Who cares about him? He is a nobody. Sitting there thinking he's hot stuff and posting stupid messages. Please, no one cares. Well, the Dolphins clearly cared. They wanted to bring him in to a certain extent to play quarterback for him. Another texter says, trade the X-Man, Xavien Howard, 2 first-round picks, and do whatever you have to do to get Murray. Murray is better than Tua. Alabama's team makes Tua look good.
I want to see the team that gives 2 first-round picks for Xavien Howard because, I mean, he's a great player, but to give for a corner 2 first-round picks, even though he is a potentially all-pro corner.
It's not that crazy. He's one of the best cornerbacks in football. Matt, Biff, listen to me. There are 4 premium positions in football. Quarterback, obviously. Then the guy who protects the quarterback, left tackle. And then the guy who gets after the quarterback, either defensive end or outside linebacker, depending on your scheme. And the guy who can stop the quarterback on the outside, that's cornerback. There are 4 premium positions in football. You pay premium prices for those guys, and if you're trading for one of them, a guy who has yet to even hit the prime of his career, yes, you got to pay him a big contract, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that you would get a lot in return for Xavien Howard. I don't know if it's 2 first-round picks, but let's not act like that's crazy.
All right, I'll give you that one. But
okay.
But this 561 texter, he has the right idea with how to tank. Kalen Ballage at quarterback. We don't need any quarterback. That's how
you just want to run Wildcat all day?
Just run the Wildcat. A, you can make the playoffs potentially because that was one of the best Dolphin playoff runs in the 2000s also.
Wait. Now, let's get one thing straight. They made a run to the first round of the playoffs. It wasn't a playoff run, right? Like that's like they haven't gone anywhere in the playoffs in the last nearly two decades. I mean, they've gotten to the playoffs a couple of times.
Well, if you count the wild card game as the playoffs, technically.
No. They got to the playoffs. I'm just saying there wasn't a run in the playoffs. Not like they won any games.
A run to the first round. But technically it was like the best run because that was everybody's least favorite run in the playoffs that they lost in the first round to.
When you put all those caveats in there, I would agree with you. It was a fun season. Don't get me wrong. 2008 was a fun season. Dom V does not have very many nice words to say about Teddy Bridgewater. He says, bleep Teddy Bridgewater. He's the Devontae Parker of quarterbacks. Okay. Somebody says, trade a 3rd-round pick for Josh Rosen. If he sucks, then we'll cut him. Vote for Haskins. Got a lot of people just, man, ripping on Teddy Bridgewater. Somebody says, this is all Mike Tannenbaum's fault. He put the Jets in salary cap hell. Now we're in salary cap hell. We can't pay for a real quarterback. Stephen Ross also has some of the blame because he can't just hire somebody competent. Somebody else says, my God, Finns, get a plan. Personally, I'd love to see Luke Falk as the quarterback. Somebody else votes for Mike Glennon as the quarterback. Somebody says, I want Daniel Jones for the quarterback next year. Why isn't anyone on Sports Talk Radio talking about this kid? He's perfect for any offensive line that we're going to have next year. He got the crap beat out of him by the Miami Hurricanes defense last year and still beat them. That kid's a great quarterback. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Daniel Jones. Me personally, of the quarterbacks that are eligible, something about him. I just don't think he's got it. One of our texters says, great show, guys. Dolphins fans have been tired of mediocrity for the past 3 years, even though we made the playoffs during one of those years. Well, thank you for listening. Goes on to say, let's see now how long they'll be okay with the upcoming multiple 2-3-4 win season. Enjoy Gase running up the score on us for the foreseeable future. One of our other texters says, Greg, what I meant was he was a two-year backup to Corey Harris at Northwestern. He didn't want to do that again at UM. Plus, Canes has a guy named Stephen Morris. Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. I think that's from Frank. I get you there. The point being, like, I don't begrudge him for not going to Miami. He went to Louisville, had a great career there, and ended up being a first-round pick. Anybody who's mad at Teddy Bridgewater for choosing Louisville over Miami, get over it. Now, if you want to be mad at him for choosing the Saints over the Dolphins, you have every right to be mad about it. But let's not get mad at a 17, 18-year-old kid making a decision that's best for him. Another texter says, I canceled my season tickets, and they tried to lure me in, not by saying the team would be competitive, but by saying I would be in the lottery for Super Bowl tickets. Yikes. Texter says, screw the Finns. Oh, man. Somebody says, tank for Trevor. Got another one, Ryan Fitzpatrick. 4 TDs, 4 interceptions per game. Bortles, he sucks, and we're trying to rebuild, so no brainer, and you don't have to give up any comp picks. Balazs can play Wildcat. We don't need a quarterback. Papa Giorgio says, I'm just tuning in now. Teddy Bridgewater is a traitor. He is no longer allowed to say he's from Miami. He was going to get the opportunity to start with his hometown team. We didn't want him anyway. He is and continues to be an injury-prone bust. Didn't want him. He has no skill. Okay. I think that's overstated, but hey, we are welcoming all opinions here. Another texter says, I guess it's the same one from earlier. Dude, my point about Daniel Jones is he's a good quarterback and he's tough. And with the line we're going to have this year, he's going to have to be tough. That's a fair point. I'm not going to question his toughness. I watched that game against Duke and Miami. He's a tough kid. I just don't know if he's got what it takes to be the long-term fix at quarterback. He can tough. He can be tough. That's for sure. Okay. The text, keep those rolling in. 560-22. That's part of what's fun when we have breaking news here with Teddy Bridgewater deciding not to go to the Dolphins and instead return to the New Orleans Saints. Love to get your opinion on that. Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota, text line 560-22. We'll keep reading those as the show goes on. But when we come back, a guy who does a terrific job covering the Dolphins for the Miami Herald will get his reaction to the Teddy Bridgewater news. That's Adam Beasley. He joins the program here on QAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. It gonna be straight, little homie. It gonna be straight. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Thursday evening to everybody. Hope you're doing well. Just tuning in, haven't heard the news. Teddy Bridgewater has decided not to sign with the Miami Dolphins. Instead, he has signed a one-year deal worth approximately $7.5 million, according to Adam Schefter, the max value of $12.5 million with incentives with the New Orleans Saints. So Teddy Bridgewater will once again back up Drew Brees and be in New Orleans with Sean Payton rather than come to his hometown and play for the Miami Dolphins. So with that in mind, the Dolphins still searching for a quarterback, still trying to decide who will be playing that position, the most important position in sports in the 2019 season. They do have a few guys under contract. Technically, Ryan Tannehill still under contract, but we're waiting to see what the Dolphins will do when it comes to the quarterback position. For more on that, we're going to go out to the phone line and welcome in Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Bees, appreciate you joining the program as always. And hey, man, this is not a dull moment this week with the NFL new season underway. Teddy Bridgewater makes his decision. What do you think?
Yeah, everybody says the NBA has the best offseason. This has been some incredible drama in the NFL, particularly with the Miami Dolphins, right? I mean, this time last week, we were all thinking Tyrod Taylor will be the next quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and boom, he'd rather be a backup in Los Angeles for the Chargers. Then they audible quickly. Teddy Bridgewater's on the list. He's in town, so he can come in for a visit. Boom, 24 hours later, he re-signs for the Saints to again be a backup. And spin it however you want. You're having players that could start for the Miami Dolphins rather be on the bench for another team. That's a bad look.
It is a bad look, right? And so I've been going back and forth about this, Bees, and trying to break down and look at this from all different angles. I'm still conflicted, as I'm sure a lot of Dolphins fans are, as to what the actual direction the organization's going. Because if they're tanking, then you probably don't want Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback. If they're not, if you believe Chris Greer at the Combine, then I think Bridgewater would have been a terrific kind of happy medium. So you bring him in. He has the upside at 26 years old, and considering he's a former first-round pick, to potentially turn into something more than just a stopgap. And if he doesn't, you can still draft a quarterback and go that route.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that having Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback precludes this team from even going 4-12 or 3-13, because they are right now on paper, they and the Giants are the two worst rosters in the NFL. And the Giants have Eli Manning, and the Dolphins have Teddy Bridgewater. Is there a functional difference between the two of them? So I think everyone who is saying, oh, Teddy would destroy the tanking plan, which, again, I don't think they're willfully tanking. I think what they're trying to do is find a bunch of players they can, that gather a bunch of players that they believe can help them win in 2-3 years. And if they win some games this year, great. If not, they'll be in great position to take the quarterback they want next year. But here's the Bridgewater situation. So say he had signed here. Say your quarterback room is Teddy Bridgewater, Luke Falk, and Jake Rudock, because those are the other two in addition to Tannehill that are still on the roster. That's still probably the 29th, 30th best quarterback room in the NFL, right? I mean, it wouldn't take you long to name who's worse than the Dolphins are at quarterback with that group. So let's not think that Bridgewater would have immediately made them an 8-8 team, a 7-9 team. What he would have brought you is, as you said, the upside that if you stumble into your franchise quarterback on a bargain, great. And if not, you've kept it together. You haven't lost the locker room, which I think is a real, real possibility now, guys, because I've already talked to people associated with players, and they say they know what's up. They know the direction of this franchise is not one that they're going to win this year, and they don't like it. They're not a huge fan of going out there and putting their bodies on the line for a team that has very little chance to win this year. And so you have to have at least a competent, respectable quarterback that the locker room isn't going to turn on the second he shows up. And I think that would be your problem with Blake Bortles. You bring Blake Bortles down here, and he's probably on their list now too, and suddenly the locker room's looking at you cross-eyed saying, you're asking us to go across the middle and try to make tough catches for this guy? He's not going to put it in the same zip code we are. So it's a danger time for this franchise. It really is. Now think about this. This is a storied franchise. The only undefeated team in NFL history was the 72 Dolphins. Dan Marino was at the top of the quarterback's powers was Dan Marino in the 80s and 90s with the Miami Dolphins. And now you have this? I mean, I think this might be even a little bit more embarrassing than 1-15. And we'll see how it plays out, and maybe there is a magic plan we don't know about. Maybe they throw enough at the Cardinals for Josh Rosen. The Cardinals really like Kyler Murray. There are ways out of this. But right now, you can't spin this as a good thing for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm with you, Bees. And the other question I had to follow up on that is that if you're going to have a conversation with Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, my interpretation of this is that they either presented a contract which didn't suit what he was looking for, right? Or he just doesn't want to come down here to be set up for failure, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably a combination of the two. But
it's probably both.
But why would you even get involved in conversations for Teddy Bridgewater if you weren't going to put a competitive offer on the table?
Yeah, that's the question. Dina Rossini of ESPN, who's really plugged in with the Saints, she reported that the only way Bridgewater was going to come here was if the Dolphins gave him life-changing money. Now, his agent has to be smarter than that to know that's not going to happen. I mean, he doesn't have internet access. He doesn't read the newspaper. He doesn't see all the reports. Doesn't see Twitter. Doesn't go on Pro Football Talk. that this is a team in total rebuilding mode, and they're trying to draft a quarterback. They're not going to give Teddy Bridgewater $15, $16 million a year and turn around and draft a quarterback in a month. It's just not going to happen. So I think some of that's on his representation, too, if really that's the case, for bringing him in here, knowing it's not just not a reality. It's not going to happen. So the question is this. Does Teddy someday regret this? Because say Breeze is healthy and they're a very good team again this year and he plays at a high level. He wants to come back again in 2020. Then you're really behind the eight ball here because he has not played a full season, Greg, since 2015. That was the last time he was a regular starting quarterback. People talk about, you know, Colin Kaepernick, who we can get into in a minute if you want, talk about Colin Kaepernick being rusty, being away from the game too long. I mean, Bridgewater has taken, like, I don't know, 60 snaps in the last three seasons. I mean, that's wild to me. I know he's been in practice and he went through training camp and preseason last year and all that. But to think that Bridgewater in 2020 can walk onto a team and be the guy who was in 2015, that to me is a stretch.
Good point. Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. I want to follow up on the point you made before about Blake Bortles and the idea of bringing a quarterback here that the players will respect and want to play for. I mean, who's left that would fit that bill? Like, who is left on the open market that the Dolphins could bring in that you would say, hey, that's my teammate, that's the guy I want to go to battle with?
Fitzmagic, maybe? I mean, is that a name? He's had success. I mean, he lit it up for a while in Tampa last year. If I were the Dolphins, that's who I would consider before Bortles. I think Bortles is just it's just waving the white flag at the feet. It really is, because anybody with eyes knows that he is not a starting quarterback of the National Football League. And then there is the possibility that I mentioned earlier, Colin Kaepernick. And again, he has been out of the league forever. He hasn't played in a long time. But if there is ever a franchise that is suited for Colin Kaepernick trying to make a comeback, it's this. It's the Dolphins. They have no chance of winning this year. They're not going to be a good football team. They have a very progressive-minded when it comes to racial issues owner, and Stephen Ross created the Rise Foundation to use sports to help combat racism. And they are the only team in the NFL with a black head coach and a black general manager. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Now, obviously, the Castro love and all that would be a huge turnoff to a large segment of this fan base. I don't know if the Dolphins can overcome that, but it's not like they're going to be packing the house this year anyway. And I think it would add a jolt of excitement to this franchise. It would allow Steve Ross to burnish his credentials of being on the right side of the racial issue. And it would, for Kaepernick, it'd be a chance to show that he could still play. I think a lot of those things would make a lot of sense. The question is, would the Dolphins come up with the money that he wants? There was a report that the AAF was interested, but they didn't come close salary-wise. Certainly the NFL's got a lot deeper pockets than that. But for me, if I were Chris Greer, if I were Brian Flores, and if I were Stephen Ross, I would give it a little bit of thought.
Yeah, I still wonder, you brought it up, the Fidel Castro situation. I don't know if some of the community would ever get over that, but it is an intriguing possibility for a lot of the reasons you said. Bees, while we're on the topic of quarterbacks, there have been some rumblings about the Giants not taking a quarterback in the first round this year, despite everything that they've gone through this offseason. Do you think the Dolphins should be interested then if Dwayne Haskins falls? Because a lot of people have pegged him at number six to the Giants, but if he falls from there, is that a guy that they could potentially move up to get? And maybe that answers all of our questions.
Yeah, I think the way this is shaping up, and it's a tankathon right now, right? It was a tankathon.com is the website that tells you up to the minute where your team would be drafting if the season ended today. I think the Giants are the Dolphins' number one competition for Tua, because you look at what they're doing with their roster, and although the Golden Tate signing today made me scratch my head, because for a team that's tanking, you're not throwing a whole mess of money at a slot, you know, wide receiver. That's wild. But, you know, I think those are the two teams that are looking at the 2020 draft keenly for quarterbacks. So if the Giants pass completely, and that's what some of the reports out of New York are, pass completely on the quarterback market, certainly Dwayne Haskins could fall. And he could fall to 10, he could fall to 11, and the Dolphins will have a real, real decision to make. Kyler Murray, I think, is a pipe dream. I think he is going to go in the top five if he doesn't go number one overall. And for the Dolphins to get him at number one, assuming that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't want him, which is, I think, a pretty wild assumption based on his comments in the past and the lack of faith they've shown in Josh Rosen. But let's just say that that draft pick is up for bidding. Say that they could go and get that pick. It would take this year's first. It would take next year's first, which will almost certainly be a top-five pick. It will probably take a third as well, and it'll take a player. It'll take a really good player. That player might be Xavien Howard. So would you give up two firsts, Xavien Howard, and maybe a third for Kyler Murray? Or would you just sit tight, take your lumps this year, have the draft pick come to you organically, go and get Justin Herbert, Tua, there's a whole list of quarterbacks that probably be ahead of, you know, either of those guys in this year's class. I think that's a smart plan. I still do. I know the Dolphins are saying they're in it to win it this year, but their actions, I listen with my eyes and not my ears, and my eyes are telling me that this is a 4-12 roster.
Yeah, it's looking that way. Adam Beasley joining me here on 560 WQAM, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. I enjoyed your article. I thought you brought up some really good points about the possibility that Tannehill and Robert Quinn may stick around. You know, Devontae Parker has already surprised all of us by being back with the team. We all assumed he'd be gone. Tannehill, as of right now, still on the roster. So is Robert Quinn. Why do you think that is, and do you think that those guys do stick around for 2019?
Well, it's funny. Did you see Olivier Vernon's response to that story?
I was going to ask you about that. Where did that come from?
Oh, man, does he not like Ryan Tannehill? My goodness. I'll get into the background first. As you mentioned, I wrote Ryan Tannehill, we can kind of understand why he's still on the team. They don't have a quarterback. But what is Robert Quinn doing on the team? He has got a $12.9 million cap number this year. That's a combination of base salary and a $1.1 million roster bonus that was paid out today. He was guaranteed that at the end of business today, $1.1 million. And so my thinking when I wrote that this morning was, well, maybe they're waiting until the zero hour to try to trade him. But it wasn't going to happen. If they couldn't have traded him in the last 2 weeks, they're not going to trade him today. So one possibility is they don't have any defensive ends. They don't have a whole lot of faith in Charles Harris. Branch is gone. Wake is gone. They need somebody to set the edge, even though we didn't do that particularly well last year. They need somebody to play defensive end for them. Or maybe they bite the bullet, eat that $1.1 million, get through the draft, get into training camp, and if a team has a defensive end need, somebody goes down or they don't come out of the draft with a guy they like, maybe then the trade market will be a little bit more appealing. That's the only rationale that makes sense to me. But because to pay Robert Quinn, who, yes, he had 6.5 sacks last year, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. But if you watch him against the run, it was bad. He looked out of place. He looked slow. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing. And the Dolphins are now bringing him back, paying him as a top 15 defensive end. For me, I just don't get it. Olivier Vernon, as we mentioned, saw it differently. And I'll see if I can pull up the exact tweet while we're on the air. But you always wonder if players privately think about Ryan Tannehill like the fans do. And I think at the end of the day, the answer is yes. There's a lot of guys that have played for him, played with him, that didn't much respect him at the time and just kind of kept it quiet. Here's Olivier Vernon's response to that story. And the story, again, here's the headline. Tannehill we sort of get, but why is Robert Quinn still on the Dolphins roster? And Vernon's response to me was, and he did it with the emoji. Sorry, sir, but what has Tannehill done compared to Robert Quinn? A solidified pass rusher that plays the right side. For the people that don't know, that's the best offensive tackles on the offensive line. Don't disrespect Quinn like that, sir. They're in different boats. He did that with the boat emoji. So, and any of us with eyes saw that Robert Quinn wasn't the same player last year that he was 5 years ago. But for OV to, you know, I didn't tag OV on this. I didn't say players love Ryan Tannehill. I just made the point that neither Quinn nor Tannehill make a lot of sense, and Quinn makes even less sense, and that triggered him. And he was not pleased about that, and he got a show of support from players including Mike Wallace, Matt Hazel, if you remember him from practice squad days, and even Jordan Phillips kind of chimed in, not in agreement, but certainly not in disagreement either. So it's pretty wild. And as I mentioned, what would the locker room think if Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback this year? What would Ryan Tannehill think if he's a quarterback this year? Because everyone knows that they tried to get rid of him. They tried to trade him. They were thinking about cutting him. The plan was to cut him. if they got another quarterback in here. And to me, and I'll ask you, Greg, the only thing that makes sense that they haven't released him now is that they're still considering him to be their quarterback in 2019.
I suppose, but, you know, a couple of follow-ups to that. Like, the fact that Olivia Vernon volunteered that information, right, to put his opinion out there, like, he's got no horse in the race. The fact that he was thought that strongly that he needed to voice his opinion,
that was two teams ago.
Yeah, that tells you something right there. The second part is, like, I don't think that Chris Greer and especially Brian Flores can enter this season with Ryan Tannehill on the roster. You've got to hit the reset button. And, you know, they may not look at it this way, but Tannehill has gotten, a few different regimes/coaching staffs fired from during his tenure as the Dolphins quarterback. They need to start fresh. I don't care who it is. You've named a bunch of names tonight. There's some guys that have no experience in the roster. Any would be better than Ryan Tannehill just based off the appearance. You can't have that guy under center for this team in 2019.
Well, I would largely agree with you. But they've got to start somebody. And are they going to be the team that starts Blake Bortles? I mean, is that part of the calculation? I want to know where Flores' head is here on all this, because we know Greer thinks like a personnel guy, and he thinks four or five steps ahead, and he is setting up this year's roster for next year, right? But Brian Flores doesn't have that luxury. I mean, I know he has a five-year contract, and I know this is year one, but does he want to set the tone? You have to worry about what the toxic, you know, effect it would have on this team if they were just completely bottomed out, if they went 1-15 and 2-14. And I think if you start Jake Rudock or Luke Falk or David Fales, that's a real possibility. So you still have to build a team. Yes, getting the number one overall draft pick is hugely important for this franchise, because they'll have their pick of the quarterbacks in a really good quarterback year, we believe. But you also can't be so bad and so inept and so dysfunctional that it ruins the really talented players you have on there. And I think Cleveland was a good example of that. It took 2 years of 1-31, hitting the right quarterback, and then firing their coach just for them to go 500. And I know everyone's crowning them today, and I know everyone thinks they're going to be in the Super Bowl. There's still a lot of players in that team that lost a lot of games, that don't have good winning habits. And you look at the Patriots. And it's a team you're always going to compare them to, particularly now because of who's running this organization. Do you think that Bill Belichick ever would have thought it'd be good for us to go 1-31 over the course of 2 years? No, that's just not how the National Football League is wired. I know in the NBA you're one player away, you're one LeBron away from having, you know, a really relevant, if not championship competitive team. It might work out like that if you get Andrew Luck. But there's not every draft has an Andrew Luck, and not every prospect we think is going to be great is going to be Andrew Luck. So they're playing a gamble here. If they think that they, and I don't think they do. I think they're more serious than that. But if they think they can really just pack it in, have 4 months of just a completely ruined locker room, it's not going to end up how they think.
Well, yeah, and it would go opposite of what Brian Flores presented at his introductory press conference, right? Because he wants, you know, We all know that he's starting off fresh. He wants to start things the right way and build those winning habits, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I can't see how he would be on board with that. Real quickly, Bees, you mentioned Robert Quinn and Tannehill, you know, still around as of right now. I don't know if he wanted to be here anymore, but if we're going to apply that same logic, like, say, with Quinn, I don't know why they wouldn't have worked out a deal with Cam Wake to stick around. You know what I mean? Like, if you just need a body at defensive end and you're willing to pay – potentially over $11 million for Robert Quinn to still be here, and I think it's up to 12.9 or something with the salary cap hit. Why couldn't you have given Cam Wake $10 million guaranteed like you got in Tennessee?
That is a question that's excellent, that had not occurred to me until this moment, and one that I don't have an answer for. The only answer I could have is this. Cam was ready to move on. And he said last year that he wanted to retire a Dolphin, but you know, the Titans are a competent team. If Mariota stays healthy, they're a winning team. They're a team that could make some noise, and their defense could be really, really good, particularly now with Cam Wake on it. Maybe he was just ready for a fresh start. I would have thought that, he's made, not that I'm his accountant, but he's made enough money. I would have thought he would have signed with a team that was tailor-made to make a run. The Rams love these older veteran pass rushers. I mean, the Patriots always, you know, seem to find the guy at the end of his career that gives him one last great year. Chicago's got an incredible pass rush. there are teams that are closer to winning than the Titans. That was a bit of a surprise to me that he didn't sign with one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I'm happy for him. 37 years old, gets a contract like that. I mean, just goes to show you that he's still got something left in the tank, not just the Dolphins, but the rest of the league sees it. Hey, Bees, this has been awesome. So much going on. Great to get your opinion on everything, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon as this NFL offseason continues to progress for the Dolphins.
Are you taking Syracuse plus 15 tonight?
Sure. Yes.
Not a lot of conviction there, Lycan.
Buddy Boeheim for 30 points. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. Have a good one, Bees.
Later, bud.
Yes. Oh, man. That's going to be a tough game against Duke. That's to be sure. Hey, great to hear from Adam Beasley. I encourage you to read all his work in the Miami Herald and follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. All right. We're getting a lot of reaction to everything going on with the Dolphins on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22, 560-22. We'll come back, read some more of your texts, and update you. If you missed out on the news about Teddy Bridgewater, we'll tell you the specifics of that when we come back here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Like that. We're back here on 560 WQAM. A very good Thursday evening to everybody. Big thanks to Adam Beasley for joining us last segment, giving us his insight on what's going on with the Dolphins. Greg Likens here with you. Matt the Biff Wilson on the other side of the glass. We're going to have another couple hours or so of the program before we turn things over to Panthers hockey as the Florida Panthers are on the West Coast. They've got a late night game. 10 o'clock is when the coverage begins here on QAM. 10:30 will be a puck drop from out in San Jose, so we'll have that a little bit later. But in the meantime, we're talking a lot about the Dolphins and about NFL free agency as the frenzy continues during this busy week with lots of news to emerge. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can via the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. That's 560-22. If you're just tuning in, Teddy Bridgewater has agreed to, looks like, about $7 to $7.5 million deal. I've seen a couple of reports, $7.5 or $7.25 million guaranteed. Either way, it's a 1-year deal with a max value of $12.5 million with incentives to remain with the New Orleans Saints and be Drew Brees' backup. So that's the big news. He had visited with the Dolphins last night and has decided not to sign with Miami, and instead he is returning to New Orleans. So we're getting a lot of people reacting to that. And, you know, I tend to agree with Bees. Like, this is a really bad look. Now, he was bringing up the fact that, you know, this Dolphins organization is a storied franchise. You go back years and years and years, all the different successes they've had. But, you know, arguably the most embarrassing moment they have had on the football field is 1-15. But right now, when you've got a scenario in which quarterbacks and players don't want to come here, what does it say about the organization? How low have they sunk that this offseason has turned into what it's been? Because Teddy Bridgewater had a chance to start for the Dolphins. No questions asked, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and he decided to go be a backup in New Orleans. What does that say about the current state of affairs for this Dolphins organization? Now, Bees brought up a number of different names, potential quarterbacks that could still sign. One of them was Colin Kaepernick. Now, some people are fired up about that. I do want to read a couple of these text messages here. One of our texters says, I will cancel my season tickets, so will half the community. Colin Kaepernick supports Fidel Castro. The texter goes on to say, I have 10 season tickets, so cancel all of them. Another texter says, hell no, don't bring back that Castro-loving MF-er over here. Another texter says, "Is Colin Kaepernick signed by the Dolphins? If Colin Kaepernick is signed by the Dolphins, Ross will never recover." Another says, "If the Dolphins sign him, I'll become a Patriot fan." Another texter says, "I doubt the Cuban fan base would accept Cap, but the majority of the rest of it would ignore it." So, as you would expect, a polarizing name to be brought up for the Dolphins at quarterback. Another texter says, Blake Bortles is where we should go. Will help us get compensatory picks since he was released. Another texter here says, no player wants to tank in their right mind. That's why we can't get decent players to come play quarterback. It is a problem when that perception is out there. It's not just bad for business from a ticket sales standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, but it's bad for business if you want to get anybody from a player's standpoint interested in being a member of the Miami Dolphins. Another texter says, build the roster these next 2 years and then draft Trevor Lawrence. I mean, I'm not against drafting Trevor Lawrence. It's just you're going to have to play two more seasons and wait and wait and wait and wait before you get that quarterback. I don't know. That's it seems like a long time to wait to get the quarterback and make things right. Another texter says, don't go after Murray or Tua. Go after Trevor Lawrence. The Dolphins are the Sandlot kids of the NFL. Another texter says, hey, Nathan Peterman, ex-Bill, guarantee you'll go 0-16 if he's your quarterback. Some people are saying they should just keep Tannehill. And it's the exact same thing as bringing in a bad quarterback. The only difference is price. See, I disagree. I mean, I think Tannehill, as I pointed out earlier, is just good enough to win you a game or two more than you really, really want to. And then at that point, you miss out on getting the draft pick you're looking for. And if Stephen Ross went on record as saying, hey, we've had too many of these mediocre seasons, we've got to build this up the right way, then at that point, it's like, if you bring back Tannehill, he is going to guarantee you what is likely going to be another mediocre season, where it's not bad enough to be a terrible team to get a great draft pick, but it's also not good enough to actually contend for a playoff spot. Frank and Kendall says, hey, I told you this yesterday. If they're going to keep Tannehill as quarterback, cut him and then re-sign him for $10 million, not $26 million. Personally, I would love to see Luke Falk. He owns all the Washington State records for a quarterback, plus he beat UM, albeit the game was in a blizzard and the Canes were in complete disarray. Golden fired and offensive coordinator not giving a hoot. It says, P.S., funny, Golden was fired because his defense was horrible and Richt was fired because his offense sucked. Too bad we couldn't have Golden's offense and Richt's defense. That would have been a better combination than what we've seen. Another texter says, Jimmy Johnson won 1-15 and built the team in his image and won 3 Super Bowls, one for Barry Switzer. Yeah, listen, I'm not against the idea of tanking or rebuilding, just a matter of how you go about it. And so if the Dolphins want to tank or rebuild, then why are you going after Teddy Bridgewater? And even if you want to tank and rebuild with Teddy Bridgewater, why would you go after him if you're not going to be competitive as far as what the price is that he's asking for? And at least be at market value. See, there's so many inconsistencies here, it'll drive you nuts. So, again, if you're going to go about it the right way. But I also think that there's got to be some form of happy medium to the point that's been made that, you know, for Brian Flores, even if you're tanking, you've got to do something to at least show some signs of respectability within the locker room so that the guys play hard and they don't feel like it's just going to be a clown show. Another texter says, hey, quit dramatizing the fact that Teddy Bridgewater does not want to join the Miami Dolphins and end up cutting his career short because he gets hurt behind that offensive line. Listen, maybe it's the best choice for him. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it does seem odd on the surface that a quarterback has the chance to be a starter for an NFL team and all that comes with that, and he decides, you know what, I'm going to re-sign with the Saints and be a backup. That doesn't happen very often. It just doesn't. So whether this is the best thing for the Dolphins in the long run, maybe that's what it turns out being. You know, they're going to draft a quarterback anyway, and maybe Bridgewater just, it didn't make sense from both sides. They weren't going to bring enough financially to the table. So be it. It still doesn't look good. It just doesn't, right? Like, just take any other factors out of the equation, and just if you hear that a quarterback has an opportunity who got hurt last time he played a full season, 2015, it's now 2019. He has a chance to be a starting quarterback in the league, no questions asked, and he decides to turn that down. It just doesn't look good if you're the Miami Dolphins. It doesn't. 560-22 is how you text us in the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. We've talked a lot of quarterback and a lot of Miami Dolphins. We will get back to that. We got a lot of people who continue to chime in. The Dolphins have once again been linked to Kyler Murray as well as Dwayne Haskins. What are the chances they get their franchise quarterback in this year's draft? I'll detail some of that next here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.